Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We've had such an overwhelming response regarding the Lionheart interview. What we want to do is, because we've asked, or we have been asked, I'll be clear on that, we have been asked to rebroadcast that. I've got a lot of requests from the listeners that they go, that was really great. I missed part of it. And I go, well, it is posted on the podcast. And I just want to let you know, folks, all of the shows so far are now available. So you just look up Friday's date, but we're going to go ahead and play it again, because as an outlier from this event, or maybe a benefit or a blessing from this shutdown, there's more and more people that don't have much to do because you all being compliant. You're doing what you're told. And so that means that more people are at home with something, with really nothing to do. And the something that they're looking to do is getting information and listening and so forth. What really concerns me is the lack of action. There's lots of complaining, but those of us who were alive and who were a part of the counterculture revolution, it seems like our revolution days are over. It seems like the spirit of America is capitulation, and that is an indictment. This is why I think more people, and that's why I kind of meandered yesterday, there are just way too many people that are accepting the concept that government is going to remove the consequences of whatever it is we do. They're just going to take care of us. That is a very dangerous paradigm. But I will tell you this, we will be interviewing a few people. We're going to be able to interview Trevor Lawton actually, I believe it's going to be today. And so maybe tomorrow or the following day, we will be playing that. And we're going to try to pick up, like I said, the state legislators. Anyway, we will be back after this interview to give you a roundup and a summation. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Lionheart.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
All right, folks, we are back with Lionheart, or as some people know him, as Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. And I believe you are in Vietnam at this point in time.
Yes, sir, GR, I am. How you doing, everybody? I'm grateful to be on your show.
Last time we spoke, it was around Christmas time, and you were in Georgia, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I was. I was celebrating New Year's and Christmas in the wonderful USA, where my family is. As an American citizen, I was the first one in my family to get an American citizenry. And then they all followed suit. And yes, I was there celebrating Christmas in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, you know, that's awesome. And I bet you had, well, actually, if you were watching the news, you probably knew what the heck was going on in China before you even left. Because they were underreporting. By the time you had already left, they were trying to play the whack-a-mole and keeping and suppressing the information so that it didn't get above ground. So, and I really appreciate the fact that you sent me that voice message with Skype. I had no idea you could do that, and I was able to actually play that out there. Anywho, so what in the heck is going on in China now? How is it there in Vietnam? Did you guys see the ravagings like South Korea? As a matter of fact, while you're talking, I'm going to pull up the map to find out how you guys are doing out there.
Well, it's been one heck of a ride, I can tell you that. But the Vietnam people have been really effective in stopping as much as they can the ravaging of this virus, particularly because we are 100 miles away from the Chinese border. Now, look, this is a pandemic of lies. We all know from day one that the Chinese authorities at different levels did everything possible to cover up the outbreak and lie to the Chinese people and the world. And the Vietnamese regime is very much controlled by the Chinese communist regime. Our offices had to close in Vietnam about a year ago for exposing the forced live organ harvesting genocide against the spiritual group, the Falun Gong, and others. And we were doing so well on social media, especially on Facebook, that the communist regime tried to actually send their special agents to coerce the Vietnamese Communist Party to close us down. So for security reasons, we had to go into hiding. I'm currently still in Vietnam, exposing, risking my life 100 miles away from the Chinese border. And GR, I tell you that even though the cases are low, we are still under lockdown. We've just gone into a 15-day lockdown period where all the restaurants, all the hotels, all the bars, all the schools, universities, and a lot of the businesses have closed down. And basically, I'm resorted to going from one side of the road to the other just to get some food and supplies and come back to my place with a face mask, which is imperative to go out in Vietnam with. And even though they are not reporting on, as you said, the number of, I don't know if we were talking in the green room about this, the number of recoveries, there is still a lot of cases each and every day that are coming up and popping up, which is prolonging the back to normal episode, basically going back to normal in Vietnam. But China is ravaged, and there is confirmed reports that they are slowly and quietly going back to austerity measures, as they have always done under the communist regime's control and reign of terror. But there's a second wave that is now coming. This is definitely a biological weapon of sorts, confirmed from the BSL-4 lab. This is not just some bat wet market virus that stemmed from some wet market. We have wet markets all the time in Vietnam. I see chickens getting cut off, you know, blood being drained, snakes and pigeons being eaten all day long at these markets, meat just being, you know, hung out to dry all day long. So this is definitely from a BSL-4 lab and covered up and lied by the communist regime. And now the World Health Organization, which is basically the communist health organization and the United Nations, has been colluded and in bed with the communist regime all these years. So, yeah, there's no doubt a cover-up.
Right. So as one that goes into these open-air markets, I was under the impression that some of the countries have actually closed those down. Is that the case, or is that not the case in Vietnam?
Still, you see a lot of the mama sons and the mom and pops. Like I walk by one every day, that they're chopping all the meat up and they're leaving all the meat out, out in the open. There's no like refrigerating process.
Oh, I know. And it smells. Yeah. I've been to many of these lands or nations, and walking by those markets, boy, it's sometimes. It is a potpourri of insults to your senses.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's they just do it completely out of the open. So this wet market scandal, I mean, when you dig deeper into it, you can actually see that this is definitely arranged biologically from a BSL-4 lab. And the thing is that the eight doctors that reported on this weapon, basically biological warfare weapon, that there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's definitely come from a BSL-4 lab. But the doctors that first reported on this, there were about eight doctors that reported on this human-to-human transmission as early as December 19th. The most important events include the publishing or the punishing of Dr. Ai Fen, who first circulated the report about a new SARS-like human-to-human transmission virus, and the whistleblower, Dr. Li Wenliang, who died. They were censored and suppressed by the Chinese Communist Party, and they were forbidden from sequencing and sampling all the reports that were coming out to the mainstream media in the world and the centralized television agencies and media agencies in China. So they were hiding, the communist regime was hiding critical information about the human-to-human transmission and much more. And even today, nobody knows how many people have been infected, how many people have died of the Wuhan pneumonia. I mean, they are just burning the bodies left, right, and center 24/7. In at least 40 incarceration ovens. And there was a very good article as well, GR, which I'd love to share with you, is China hiding the real COVID-19 death toll based on 21 million phones that vanished? And this was a very big alarming article that came out of the Epoch Times in New York.
Oh, okay. Where, so can you send me the link to that? Because I would definitely love to look at that. I would definitely like to provide that link out to, because one of the questions I was going to ask you is, what is the total damage? Because we're not getting the truth. And you're basically saying that there was an investigative reporter that just said that 21 million phones have just died in service.
And let me give you some of the shocking confirmation about this, that the Epoch Times came out, and I will send that to you for sure after the interview.
Okay.
Beijing authorities have said that as of March 19th, there have been over 21 million cell phone accounts canceled, while over the last 3 months, they have had about 840,000 landlines closed in China. So this begs the question, where did all these people go and what happened?
Right.
So there are some eerie reports that deaths of the COVID-19 in China might have contributed to the high number of account closings, according to the Epoch Times. But if you didn't already know, the Chinese government requires all Chinese citizens to use their smartphones to generate a health code.
Yes.
So a U.S.-based China affairs commentator, he told the Epoch Times, and I quote, the digitization of a level is very high in China. So people can't survive without a cell phone. Dealing with the government for pensions and social security, buying train tickets, shopping, no matter what people want to do, they are required to use cell phones. So the man added that the Chinese regime requires all Chinese to use their cell phones to generate a health code. So only with a green health code are Chinese allowed to move in China now. It's impossible for a person to cancel his cell phone. So this is the part that's most concerning. It's impossible for a person to cancel his cell phone. So there have been reports that, well, maybe they had other cell phone usage. They changed landlines. They changed services. They had extra phones. But this is very theoretical basis, a conspiracy theory, because I only like to divulge in conspiracy facts. So when more of the data came out, where, for example, on November 2019, there were about 1.6 billion cell phone users in China. And on March 2020, there were only about 1.57 billion. So the drop of about 21 million cell phone users. Are you mean to tell me that with the 21 million cell phones deleted and vanished, and the 840,000 landline users, they were dropped as well, that all these people automatically, simultaneously changed over to services or just like shut off their phones and used another phone? It doesn't seem reasonable to me.
Well,
I mean,
So let me ask a couple of questions, because my mind is going a million miles a minute here. So first off, for China to have security for ensuring that phone stays with that person, they have to have a way of locking it to that person. My guess is that they're probably using biometrics with the phone. Exactly. Is that what they're doing?
Exactly. They're using AI technology, the social security score, with none other than these horrible gangster tech companies like Google, which is completely in bed with the communist regime.
Yes, yeah. I report that all the time.
Exactly. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. They are colluding with the communist regime. They're banning conservative talk show hosts. They're banning people who rise up and share about what's going on in China. And to add to the report on this, 21 million cell phone users just completely vanished, including the 840,000 landline users, GR. China Mobile is the largest cell phone carrier in China, where it owns 60% of the entire market in the country. In December 2019, China Mobile reported that it had added an additional 3.7 million accounts, but then it lost 800,000 of those in January 2020, and another, but much higher, 7.2 million in February 2020. Now, China Telecom is the second largest carrier in China with about 21% of the market. The company also lost a significant amount of users over the last few months, starting in December 2019, where it gained about 1.8 million users. Then by January 2020, it lost about 430,000. And then by February 2020, when the virus was in full steam, 5.6 million of a massive chunk just disintegrated. So where did all these people go? Did they, you know? And I understand for me personally, when I go right. from an iPhone, one iPhone to the next iPhone, it takes a little bit of time. You know, you can't really do it yourself. You have to go pick out your old new phone. You have to transfer all the data, all your pictures, all your messages, all your, you know, everything that has to go from one phone to the other. I've done it. It's from AT&T and from T-Mobile and Sprint. It's kind of a mission. So when this virus was upon us and this lockdown occurred, how could people even go out to the stores? How could people even go? And like you said, to have the communist regime locked down and on your phone, it's impossible to change phones. I mean, what, did they just switch off one and switch on the other? And right. 21 million people, I could understand 100,000, 200,000 people, 50,000 people, but 21 million people? So this is very fishy where they all went.
So the other question that begs asking, because the landlines are a very unique bear. To get a landline in China it literally takes a government approval to do that. And if I'm correct, landlines are dedicated for business purposes only.
Exactly.
So in other words, almost a million businesses went belly up.
Exactly. 100%. Exactly. And not only that, is that the market share of China, when you're owning 60% of the Chinese the landlines, the cell phone users, you are controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. So yeah, it's a very fishy state of affairs.
Right. And you were talking about incinerators basically burning, probably going full time in getting rid of the bodies, because that's just too much evidence that they can't afford to lay around. So were they shipping these things around so that people, usually when you have a surge of a need, then you typically have incinerators that can handle normal operations. But when you have a big surge like this in one geographical location, there's probably a likelihood that they had to ship those bodies out to some of these others. Either that or they had to put them, I'll just use the words, on ice, because that's what thugs do, just so that they can hide them and get them through the process without making notice. But, you know, the one thing I know about the Communist Party is that they're very arrogant, because they have a level of control, and they do things, unscrupulous things, and just unethical, evil things right in front of the public. It's like they have no compunction of, trying to be good guys at all.
Oh, of course. That's the deception of the Chinese Communist Party. Look, when you have a reign of terror, a murderous, wicked, scoundrel regime like the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, that has controlled China, the Chinese civilization, the Chinese government, the Chinese military, and the Chinese people for the last 50-plus years, decimated 5,000 years of Chinese traditional divine culture, wiped out 100 million people, that's more than two world wars combined, harvesting its own citizens for their organs, selling them back to the high-ranking Chinese officials and rich, wealthy Chinese who are now infected by the coronavirus in order to become more pure in their lungs, killing the Falun Gong and the Uyghur Muslims and the House Christians and the Tibetans, mainly the Falun Gong practitioners, ripping their organs out and selling them for massive profit, making billions of dollars in this. There's no doubt about it that they will wipe out millions of their own people for a power grab, because not only is the economy collapsing after Trump put the death knell with the trade war and the tariffs and smashed their economy and bringing back all the manufacturing that was sold off to Communist China in the NAFTA agreements with the rapist Bill Clinton, if I dare say, and his demon rich wife Hillary. Oh, that Hillary, what a beauty that one was, huh? And then Obama, oh, you mean Barry Sataro from Honolulu, not even an American citizen? I mean, come on. I mean, GR, come on. Our constitutional values, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, our supreme law of the land has been under such attack. And you, as a constitutional master of law, have been spewing this, have been preaching this to the choir all day long about how our constitutional values have been violated over the years of these insidious communist thuggeries of and communist party members and minions of the communist regime. And if it wasn't for Trump that came in to save the republic, and say what you want to say about Trump, not everything I agree with him on, but his hands are tied. I mean, there's a serious deep state operation going on to try and destroy him.
Oh, absolutely.
For years now. Absolutely. For years now. And they've tried to do it with the Russian dossier. They've tried to do it with the demonization of race-baiting tactics, which are psyop techniques from the cultural Marxist playbook of the Chinese Communist Party, in bed with the World Health Organization, the globalist cabal, George Soros, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, all trying to take over the American population and the American civilization and the American Republic, destroy the Constitution, take away the guns, and instill a communist-style system of control to depopulate the United States and make us and render us helpless, and usher in this new communist-style system that was, well, this communist-style system, Orwellian's based out of communist-style system, yes, in China. And you've been preaching this to the world, and your listeners know full well about this. And now it's coming to the forefront. And I take my hat off to Steve Bannon, who is the who was a right-hand man to Trump, and now is a podcaster, I think, on American Voices. And he actually brought up Henry Kissinger, who has been in bed also with the communist regime for years.
Yes.
And had blood on his hands, just like the Wall Street bankers and the corporate think tanks that have made serious, serious money off the slave labor trade. They've known about the forced organ harvesting. They've known about the brutal persecution of Falun Gong and Uyghur Muslims and others, and yet are continuing to be in bed with the communist regime.
Yeah, so it really, the marrying up in American politics with the Communist Party, the global Communist Party, really occurred with Lyndon B. Johnson. Kennedy was resistant to it. He was actually looking at doing other things other than going along with the globalists. He was looking about taking the currency and bringing back actually silver-backed dollars and so forth. But anyway, what I want to do is I want to ask you, because you have the eyes and you know that China has been shut down as far as being able to export any goods. The ports in America for all goods coming in practically from China and most destinations, they're dry. There's nothing coming in. And so I had this conversation today in understanding how everything is being manufactured in China and overseas, almost everything. And here's the blessing for America, and I want my listeners to understand. We are now moving because we have a supply chain, and that supply chain is basically what's in it is all that we're going to have other than what we're putting back into that supply chain. because it's not, we're not being fed anymore from our international providers. So the blessing is that we do have a growth season coming ahead, so that if these vacant farmlands that have been subsidized by the government actually violate the government subsidies and they actually start growing, we will be able to produce food to get us through this hump. But here's the thing. I was talking to some guys in the tech industry, and almost everything in the tech, whether it be memory, drives, everything is being manufactured out of China and its Chinese, I'll just call it puppet countries, Indonesia and so forth. And so here's the question. Most people right now are really, because they can't go out, they can't go to these high-tech stores, they can't do that type of shopping, and most people aren't looking at trying to buy those types of items. When this is all kind of said and done, America is going to look at a huge jump in the cost of everything, whether that be furniture, whether that be computers, tech, or anything, because guess what? It's not coming in through the ports. We don't have any. So the supply and demand of application will truly crash down upon us. And we're going to find that because there's so little supply and because there's such a great demand for everybody to get their new phones and their new tech or what have you, we're going to watch these prices and people are going to be paying either buku dollars or they're going to learn to live without.
Oh, you nailed it. Absolutely. And you can see with the crash, the tech stocks crashing, Apple, I mean, crashed considerably low. Just because of this global supply chain coming to a halt and the manufacturing base. And may I add, the Chinese Communist Party putting more citizens at risk and therefore having and adding to a second wave of infections by opening up or trying to open up these factories. But to no avail. I mean, this to no avail. And I wanted to share with you, since we're talking about the Communist Party's infrastructure, internal economic infrastructure, and how it is playing on the world. When Bill Clinton sold the NAFTA agreements, entered into the NAFTA agreements with Communist China in the 1990s, he sold the entire manufacturing base to Communist China. He made a huge evil. It was evil because he deceived the American population. If we didn't do that, we would have actually stabilized the price points and we would have had a really good economy, even more so than we are today. We would have had an even stronger dollar. But because he did that and sold the entire rights of our manufacturing base to China, you are right. Once this completely collapses and we start bringing, as Trump is doing, the manufacturing base back to America, the prices are going to get higher. There's not going to be this Walmart made in China crap and price reduction as it has been. There's going to be serious price gouging continuing and going on in place. And I want to read something to you that the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and this is out of the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party. If anyone hasn't read it, I truly implore you guys to read it. But anyway, the CCP...
I do have that link still up on my website, by the way. I just wanted to remind the listeners that you can still get this link. So go ahead.
Wonderful. The Chinese Communist Party behaves like the mafia by playing the economic card in foreign diplomacy. So where the Chinese aircraft manufacturing contract is given to France or the United States depends on which country keeps quiet on the Chinese Communist Party's human rights. Many Western businessmen and politicians are driven and controlled by economic profits from China. Some information technology companies from North America have supplied specialized products, namely Cisco systems, to the CCP for blocking the internet. In order to gain entry into the Chinese markets, some internet websites have agreed to censor themselves and filter out information disliked by the CCP. Now, as early as April 2004, GR, according to data from the Chinese Ministry of Commerce, China has seen a total, and this is about almost nearly 15 years ago, a total of $990 billion of U.S. foreign direct investment into various contracts. So the huge blood transfusion to the CCP's economy from foreign capital is apparent. But in the process of investment, foreign capital did not bring in the concept of democracy, freedom, and human rights as fundamental principles to the Chinese people. And the Chinese Communist Party capitalizes in its propaganda on the unconditional cooperation by foreign investors and foreign governments and the flattery of some countries, namely as well as the governing bodies of the World Health Organization, as you saw with Taiwan not being allowed into the World Health Organization, and now President Trump considering to defund the Communist Health Organization because they are just a complete monstrosity. They've covered up, they've lied, they have blood on their hands, and as Steve Bannon was pointing out on his show, that even the World Health Organization with the Henry Kissinger and Lyndon B. Johnson, who was involved in the assassination of JFK because he did not want to go into Vietnam, he didn't. The Bay of Pigs was a complete hoax. It was a ridiculous. It never existed. But right. They wanted to go into Vietnam.
Right.
They caused this whole Ho Chi Minh. And you know what's funny, talking about Vietnam. Uncle Ho, as they call it here, Uncle Ho Chi Minh, wanted to do business with the United States. They wanted to be part of the United States. They didn't want to be part of France. Uncle Ho Chi Minh wanted to enlighten the American capitalism and way of life, but because there was such a globalist cabal at that time with Lyndon B. Johnson, as you were saying, they made a mockery and caused 50,000 American lives, and probably that was your generation, GR. It wasn't my generation. 50,000 American deaths over a lie,
right.
And millions of Vietnamese people to die, and even to this day, controlled by the communist regime.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you knew this, but there's a book. It's written by A. Ralph Epperson. It's called The Unseen Hand. And I would recommend you read it because he actually ties this cabal and conspiracy, and it's a conspiratorial view of history, but he ties a lot of this stuff. I do not agree with his view on the Constitution. He's dead wrong on that, but he did a lot of research, and he points out that it was FDR, Stalin, and Churchill that basically agreed to fight two wars. At the expense of American lives, we would fight two wars to help rebuild Russia and China, the two communist countries that were out there. And as a matter of fact, at that point in time, China hadn't even fallen, but it was already agreed upon. And in this book, he even talks about how America deliberately kept, because all we had to do was just provide a little bit of assistance, and we could have easily kept that ragtag communist revolution from even taking hold. But instead, we did nothing, and so it was just a matter of time for Mao to literally take over and so forth. But it's a very interesting read. But he talks about, and he identifies the historical, you know, how the die was cast way back in, you know, the early communist takeover of the world, which really began even earlier. But they were just doing exactly what they were told to ensure that Russia could survive, because they knew they had to have something bolster up. They needed countries to buy their crappy military goods.
You definitely nailed it. And you could see the early pictures with Mao Zedong. You start 40 million of his of Chinese people,
right.
With Henry Kissinger and the Rockefellers after the war with Japan, when Japan surrendered and left China in ruin.
Right.
You saw Henry Kissinger, who to this day has blood on his hands. And I just want to share about the modern-day World Health Organization with Tedros, the Secretary General right now, very much in charge. As noted by the assistant to the U.S. President, Peter Navarro, and Peter Navarro came up with a really good book as well. I don't know the title of his book, but he wrote a really good book, and he's still very much in with next to Trump right now. The Chinese Communist Party has a broad strategy to gain control over the 15 specialized agencies of the United Nations. China already leads four of the United Nations specialized agencies. So think about that, while no other country leads more than one. And last week, according to the Federalists, which was they released this article on March 17, 2020, the Chinese Communist Party, and thank God they did, they lost a bid to head the World Intellectual Property Organization. I mean, can you imagine? And now, Tedros, oh, Teddy boy, what a beauty, as Trump would always say. Oh, he's a beauty, you know? I love when he says that. Tedros was the perfect puppet for China because Tedros headed the Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front in Addis Ababa. And he was already a patsy for the CCP. And Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, is known as the city that China built, where the Chinese Communist Party funded the construction of everything from the metro system to highways to skyscrapers. They even headquartered the African Union with $200 million of their investment, $3.3 billion in Chinese loans, 400 Chinese investment projects. And so the Chinese Communist Party boasted about its almost takeover of the World Health Organization, because in 2017 alone, it signed an agreement with the World Health Organization for its One Belt, One Road initiative, co-chaired by the China African Health Ministers Conference. And this was where the Chinese Communist Party pledged $8.8 billion to developing countries to so-called improve the people's well-being worldwide, which is absolute BS. The Chinese Communist Party has raped, pillaged, and plundered its own citizens, killed millions of its own people, and now is stealing the resources and colluding with the governing bodies around the world to cover up and lie about this virus that it's unleashed on the world, and now we're suffering for it. So there's no trust in the communist regime. And Trump sees this, GR. Trump sees this. Any constitutional expert, and as you are, will see this, that the communist regime is just a monstrosity waiting to collapse and is trying to take over the United States Constitution and destroy it with its global cabal minions as well.
Well, so here's an interesting thing, is I've told my audience already, if you understand martial law is where the government takes over everything. And what is happening underneath Trump, and I don't understand why he's not stopping it. He's basically saying, well, you states do what you want to do. And they're coming out with these guidelines and so forth. And I don't understand why he's not stopping it. But when these states are declaring stay in place, shutting down businesses and everything else, that's tantamount to martial law. The only thing that they're not doing is they're not going out there with you know, military troops, which is all unconstitutional. What they're doing is all unconstitutional. We've gone through the details of this, and I actually have an article on my constitutional perspective page on my reclaimingtherepublic.org that I'd recommend you read that and read these other things, because you'll actually get the required elements for them to declare martial law. They actually, the only way they can do it is if we have the militia. They've disbanded the militia and they're using the National Guard, which is all unconstitutional as well. Anyway, what I don't understand is why Trump is just letting these things go. But here's the question. Last time we talked, I put it on the table and I mentioned to you that Trump could easily do a body check to China that would knock them off the ice. And that body check would be going to Taiwan, going to Hong Kong, going to Nepal, going to these countries where China is playing tough, especially the ones that are really important like Hong Kong, and going to them and saying, why don't you guys consider having a democratic election to determine whether you'd rather become a territory and work your way into statehood of the United States instead of letting China tell you what to do?
That's coming. You have definitely foreshadowed something that is coming, because with the collapse of the Chinese Communist Party, there are internal factions right now. There's a huge war with the Xi faction and the Jiang Zemin faction. Now, Jiang Zemin was the former president of the Communist Party in the 1990s. He was the one who basically outlawed and banned the spiritual practice of the Falun Gong and launched this brutal campaign against it, and the forced organ harvesting commenced under his rule. The evil head of the communist regime, this is what he's called. And now President Xi and him are battling to take over, or what is ever left of this puppet regime, this imposter regime of the communist regime, which is completely decimated from within, socially, politically, and economically. So what you have just mentioned, that why doesn't Trump you know, share with the Hong Kong government and Taiwanese that, listen, we're going to usher in a whole new kind of diplomatic way of and constitutional value and republic value that we have in that works in and is normal for you. And this is what the Hong Kong and Taiwanese people are calling for. As you saw in Hong Kong when the protesters were flying American flags and pledging allegiance, and can you see, you know, they were singing the anthem. That's what they want. Even the Vietnamese people, the younger generation, do not hate communism. They wanted it all to die. They don't even want it. They don't like it. And what the communists failed to do in Vietnam is to seal and ban the internet, just like the Chinese communists did. The Vietnamese communists, they actually, quite honestly, they want the Western capitalism. They love the money. They want the Western businesses. And they did not censor the internet just as the communists in China did. But so the Vietnamese, the younger Vietnamese generation, and my age, I'm 40 years old and younger, they have gained insight and into the American way of life, and that's what they want. So yeah, it's only a matter of time. And right now there is standing by a new free democratic Chinese government administration that is aided by the Trump administration, aided by the American way of life, that is going to be coming into China and coming into Hong Kong once the communist regime collapses. Right. This is the last leg. The communist regime is a rat on a sinking ship, GR, and it's not going to be 10 years or 20 years. This is going to happen within the next year, 2 years, 3 years. Wait and see. It's a very exciting time for all of us, but yes, because of what has happened with this virus, the communist regime is on its last leg, and they're just venomously vibing for power. And it's like a psychopath. Have you ever seen Scarface?
Yeah, I have.
The last scene where he's so coked up, excuse my language, but he's so coked up on his own supply, and the Colombians are coming for him outside his door, and That's the Chinese Communist Party. The world is coming now to take it over, destroy it, wipe it out, eliminate it, force it to collapse. But they're going to do it very delicately right now, because they've allowed the communist regime to put its claws into every single thing. Even Russia doesn't want to be around it. Anyone aligned with it, even the high-ranking communist officials, are fleeing the country as we speak. With all their money and their children being taken overseas to study in America and universities, even in Vietnam, because they know the end of the communist regime is imminent. So, yes, to answer your question, that is just a matter of time that happens.
Well, so we're running, we got about 5 minutes left. So a couple of things I wanted to throw out that maybe you could either look for or you can find out. Was there any transshipments of these bodies because we're talking about a huge surge. We're talking about, if you look at the capacity of the crematoriums that they have, there's no way they could just handle that many. They would still be functioning today and still going months into it. I believe they had to probably ship some of those things out, or they had to make makeshift crematoriums that were burning bodies and so forth. And so that would be, now did you just send me that, or did we?
I just sent you that. Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's the link. Okay, sorry. Great, because after we're done here, I hold on because I've got a couple of things I did want to do a sidebar with you. But find out what the heck they did with these bodies, because there's no doubt in my mind this was beyond their magnitude, too quick, and their capacity to digest this kind of death. The other thing is, how much longer are you going to, you know, be working in Vietnam and doing what you're doing? Is this going to be a lifelong passion or what?
As long as they don't kill me, GR, or send me off to a gulag, I've risked my life for 20 years. It's coming on May 4th, 2001, that I started. 2020 will be 20 years of my life, exposing the forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong.
Wow, that's just a month away.
I'm sorry?
I said that's just a month away, right?
It's a month away, 20-year anniversary. I leave no name. I seek no reward. I don't ask for donations. I just do this because I feel in my heart it's the right thing to do and to stand on the right side of destiny. And what is a man who cannot make the world a better place? And to answer your question about the burning of the bodies, yes, 24/7, they are burning bodies in at least 40 incarceration ovens. They've been doing it with the Falun Gong in state-mandated hospitals of about 354 concentration camps in China, 800 hospitals, turning their doctors into murderers. And David Kilgore, David Mattis, and Ethan Gutman, the three gentlemen who confirmed the allegations of forced organ harvesting, confirmed in over 52 pieces of evidence, have also confirmed the burning of bodies.
Right.
And also embalming of the bodies and selling them off to the body exhibitions to be put on display in the body worlds. I'm sure, I don't know if you've heard about this, but this is a $60 million profiteering operation as well. So, yes, there's no doubt that they're burying the bodies 24/7. There is actually Jennifer Zhang, an NTDT and Epoch Times reporter and a Chinese Falun Gong practitioner who used to work in the government intelligence agency, one of the highest research development agencies. She has taken pictures of the plume of carbon dioxide that has been hovering over China because of the burning of bodies of 24/7 a day.
Wow.
For the last 3 months covering this up. So there is no doubt this has been confirmed. And I'm actually going to send you a little ping of the article of the 21 million fewer cell phones.
Yeah,
so
I just got it.
Yes, GR. This is no doubt happening. And more information is going to be coming out more and more and more. So please direct your listeners to the Epoch Times.
Okay. We'll do. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, one last thing. Do you use Zoom? Because I've used Zoom and Skype, and I've noticed that the quality of Zoom, because they've been overwhelmed by, you know, all of this, you know, school and everything else, and everybody's just migrated to Zoom as the platform. And I had a Zoom interview today with somebody down in California, and my connection was terrible, and I'm talking halfway around the world on Skype, and I'm going, this is much better. So have you noticed that, by the way?
I do. And what you should do, you should use is StreamYard, StreamYard.com. It's really, really good. It's very simple to use. You can actually split the screen or share the screen where you can show articles, you can show videos. It's really good, and it's very easy for your guests to learn how to use it. StreamYard.com. I can send you the link.
Yeah, send me the link to that, too. I'd like to hold you over when we're done here. I just want to thank you for all that you do. And so I... no words are adequate to the risk that you take and the lack of gratitude that I know you don't get for what you do. And I just want to thank you personally for doing that. And especially, I really owe a level of gratitude because you're the one that reached out to me a long, long time ago before I even knew of you and what you were doing. And so I just appreciate you sharing, you know, your little piece of your world with me.
Well, you know what? Thank you very much for your kind allowance of me coming on your show and gracing you and your listeners with this evidence. And if they want to learn more, they can go to stoporganharvesting.org and endtransplantabuse.org. And I just want to end off as well, GR, with you with a quote from Albert Einstein, where the world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. So what your listeners and your viewers can do, most importantly, is to just become aware and spread the information and share the Epoch Times articles, the websites, and the understanding and wisdom of what is happening so they can be more informed. And stay safe, stay healthy, and God bless. And until we meet again,
And likewise, to you, I do need to cut this, but please stand by for the sidebar. Folks, we will be right back after a couple of promos. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So folks, what we're dealing with is not a temporary thing. This is not just an outlier in our life. What we're dealing with is a paradigm shift. There is a new relationship between government and the people. And that relationship is one that they no longer recognize your guaranteed liberties. They don't have to recognize your need to worship. They don't need to recognize your freedom and your liberty to your religious expression, assembly, and so forth. I guess the best word is I'm appalled to find so little substantive resistance, a group of people that are really actually just taking it to the government. And as I look at some of these protests, I'm going, are you kidding? There's not a lot of time. And what they have done is they've created a new norm, because people have actually taken this. And I think it's one of those things where all of a sudden, you know, you're standing there talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden that person you're talking to just hits you in the larynx. I mean, you're not even, you know, right there in the throat. You can't breathe. I mean, you're absolutely stunned that here's a person that just attacked you. And you're just, most people, they just, you know, when they think that they're having a, you know, a civil dialogue with somebody, they're not even, you know, concerned about the threat of what they're going to do to them. And the next thing you know, you're struggling to breathe. That's what's just happened. We have been hit by our government. They have taken our liberties, and now we're struggling to breathe. I had a conversation last night regarding what I foresaw as what is moving forward. This is going to be, as they've crept and extended this, oh, well, we need more time, we need to move forward. What we're looking at, folks, is one of those runs that is going to decimate those people who have no savings, those people who are living hand to mouth. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.